Greetings, I'm Brad Thomas, and this is Christ's Resurrection of Life Body. Welcome. I'm going to be sharing from what is listed as being the sixth chapter of the Book of Revelation of St. John the Divine, the Book of Revelation of Jesus Christ to none other than the Apostle John, John the Beloved. And the beginning of the Book of Revelation, it is the revelation of God the Father to Jesus Christ, to his servant, John, via an angel. And I digressed in the previous message for what are listed as chapters 4 and 5 in the Book of Revelation. And just for future reference, while I will refer to matters such as marriage as I go through the Scriptures, generally speaking, I focus on topics such as that in another program of mine other than Christ's Resurrection of Life Body messages, namely, Let's Meet Jesus, or Blessings Money Cannot Buy. I use both names together, so it's usually just shortened to Blessings Money Cannot Buy. Beginning with, again, what is listed as chapter 6. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, Come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill each other, that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, Come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, Come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And I beheld when he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth. even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? So beginning with the beginning of what is listed as chapter 6. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the only begotten Son of God, who typically referred to himself as Son of Man, when he was on the earth. He opens the first seal of these seven seals that seal this book. And there's the noise of thunder. Thunder in heaven. Not heaven like just barely here in our atmosphere, but thunder through the heavens. And one of the four beasts said, come and see. These four beasts, these are remarkable, remarkable beasts, what are referred to as beasts. But then as we go back, if you look again at what is listed as chapter 5, you find every creature in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and in the sea saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Remarkable, and of course a very great many people, including mighty theologians, would say impossible, ridiculous, this is just a metaphor, this is just, you know, such and such. But no, it's from God Almighty, the creative genius of everything. Hollywood and other centers of movie making are fascinated with and fixated on, along with various others in academia and so forth, but fascinated with and fixated on other civilizations out there in outer space and what have you. Aliens, alien invasions. And the walking dead. Zombies, zombie apocalypse. Vampires and all manner of things. And of course now glorifying witches and what have you. And yet, people that are caught up in all of that nonsense refer to God's word as being incredible. But You can either embrace the liars and their fictions, or embrace God Almighty and His Holy Son Jesus and their eternal truths. But imagine, you know, this messenger here, this is not Paul Revere. This is one of these beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow. A bow and, obviously, quiver full of arrows. I'm going to guess an inexhaustible quiver full of deadly arrows. And a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. That's his purpose. That's his mission. This world has been beset by various destroyers bent on conquering and enslaving and having themselves glorified as gods. But here, this white horse, and he who sits upon him is sent forth to conquer. And when the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. Again, a beast, the second beast, saying, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Now, red horse, I don't know what color red we're talking about here. The exceedingly great thoroughbred stallion, racehorse, Secretariat. His nickname was Red. Chestnut. And that usually passes for red, speaking of horses, but I don't know. So these two are going to war against each other, attempt to conquer each other, kill one another. And when he had opened, when the Lamb had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. Well, that doesn't seem to be a weapon. That doesn't seem to be in keeping with the previous white horse and red horse and their riders. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou, hurt not the oil and the wine. Mysterious, but the mystery will be opened up. And when he, the Lamb, had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death. And Hell followed with him. And power was given unto them, death and hell, over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. The population of this world at this time is somewhere in the vicinity of 8 billion people. It's approaching that, at least, approaching it. The fourth part of the earth would be approximately 2 billion people at this time. And these four causes of death that are referenced: to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth, refers to the four judgments of God that are mentioned over and over and over again in the Old Testament. Sometimes you'll only see three of them mentioned, sometimes only two. But time and again, all four are mentioned. And the four are these: the sword or warfare, not just violence, but war; hunger, famine, drought; death is actually here in the place of pestilence, disease, epidemic, pandemic. That's what's referenced with this word death. And the beasts of the earth, the noisome beasts. In the United States of America and elsewhere in the world, there are various people that are collectors of exotic pets. You're right. Exotic pets, which can be all manner of things. And around the world, there have been efforts made, there continue to be efforts made, charitable efforts made, to protect, to safeguard, and to increase the populations of dangerous wild animals. Now, they may be beautiful animals, beautiful, created beautifully by God Almighty. But dangerous animals, lions and tigers and bears, oh my, wolves and what have you. And as far as exotic pets, that also includes things such as pythons, deadly pythons, boa constrictors. And then these people that they get crocodiles and alligators and they let them go in the sewer systems and they let them go in public lakes and ponds. But then we have the sharks. All species of shark, most egregiously the great white variety, which are now appearing in such not only large numbers, but such close proximity to the beaches of Cape Cod, Massachusetts, so close to shore, following the herds of seals. Noisome beasts. Oh, that could never be a problem. You know, the cougars, mountain lions, pumas, different names for the same thing, leopards, panthers, cheetahs, lions and tigers, all of the different varieties of tigers. Bears, grizzly bears, polar bears, black bears, brown bears, and what have you. And there are, of course, all manner of other kinds of animals, and certainly rattlesnakes and water moccasins and what have you. But God Almighty here, in this place, in Revelation, and also time and again and again and again throughout Scripture, refers to noisome beasts as being one of his four judgments. What does that mean? It means that in time to come, in the near future, these are coming attractions, in the near future, in addition to war around the world, you could call it world war, in addition to war, in addition to famine, starvation, and dehydration, in addition to disease, plague, pestilence, epidemic, pandemic, in addition to all of those, you also have noisome beasts on the loose. Not just scaring people, but slaughtering people. Large numbers. Otherwise, it would not be included as one of God's four sore judgments. Not pleasant to think about. These things are coming. And that's going to be such a huge problem, these noisome beasts, that it gets to be included along with warfare, war, world war, and mass starvation, dehydration, and loss of hundreds of millions of people by epidemics. So we're talking again, one quarter of the earth's population, approximately 2 billion people, give or take. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. This is just one of those things, one of many that has bothered me forever and a day, is these theologians, these experts in religion, who insist that the soul dies. The soul dies. No, the soul continues. The spirit and soul continue. But they insist, there are many that teach that the soul dies, ends. Okay. For your information, those who teach that should not be listened to, should not be followed, should not be paid attention to. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season. until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Again, a coming attraction. Now, of course, there are many religious authorities, experts, and so forth, who explain all of this away. Then there are all the pastors and ministers, and they insist that as soon as bad times start to come to the United States of America, the church will be raptured away. It's going to be ruptured, not raptured. But then there are the others who just make it out that none of this pertains to us, or it is for a time so distant in the future, or in fact, it's even for a time in the past. All manner of idiocy. This is for a time that is very near at hand. It is drawing near, it is drawing nigh, it is close at hand. And these martyrs for the Lord, not to be confused with the Islamist terrorists who slaughter and murder and destroy, and if they are killed or they die in the process of slaughtering Christians and Jews and others, oh, then they are martyrs. No, they are murderers, they are destroyers, and they will inherit eternal damnation along with Satan, a.k.a. Allah, and his false prophet Muhammad. Now, these here spoken of are martyrs, Christian martyrs, which is what martyrs are by definition, except, of course, those definitions keep being changed by the high and mighty powers that be, including, of course, theologians. They should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants and their brethren should be killed as they were. Not happy news. Okay? So for those churches, and I use the term very liberally, very generously, for those churches in the United States of America and elsewhere in the world that focus on happy, 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 never been so happy, focus on prosperity and success and enjoyment of life to the nth degree. Oh, and of course, very liberally contributing to the pastors, the church, and so forth. Not for support of world missions. No, for, you know, more important things than that. This is what's coming. And those exceedingly sorry excuses of churches will be swept away. And those pastors, those hireling pastors and prostitutors of the gospel will be held accountable. But that won't be any help for those whom they have beguiled. And led astray. And I beheld when he, the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world, had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. So isn't it interesting that we have, this particular eclipse or that one, and tens of thousands of people go rushing hither and thither to get a glimpse of this eclipse. And many of them end up missing it. I remember this last go-round, hear about this great eclipse, and there were news crews that were chasing after it to be able to, report it, record it, and they missed it. Well, guess what? What's referred to here is actually, factually going to happen. No one's going to need to go chasing after it. It's not going to be for a blink. It's not going to be something that's only observed in this spot and that spot and so on and so forth on some particular track across the country. No. Instead, this is a matter of the sun becoming black as sackcloth of hair. Okay, well, gee, maybe that's just an eclipse, solar eclipse, and the moon became as blood. Well, okay, well, that's just, kind of sort of a lunar eclipse. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth. Oh dear, that is something new, isn't it? That is something new. Not just a comet, a meteor, even though a comet or a meteor hitting the ocean could be enough to cause a tsunami. Hitting the earth could be enough to cause a raging forest fire that would destroy millions of acres, that sort of thing. But here, the stars, plural, of heaven fell unto the earth. They're not just whizzing by in close proximity to the earth and maybe affecting how the earth orbits, but no, a little more than that, hitting the earth, falling on the earth, stars, plural, falling from heaven unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll. So all of the stars fall. Impossible. Come on. There's just this enormous universe. And, there's so many other galaxies and everything else. Impossible. This could never happen. Just ask the experts. Not a chance. What about all the constellations and all the galaxies? Well, here, God Almighty says that the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. We don't have to believe God. We can believe the experts instead, right? Because after all, God isn't an expert compared to these brilliant ones, right? who are, of course, also so honorable and noble and honest and all of that. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Do you have any idea what that entails? Again, every island moved out of place. What that can cause in the way of disruption worldwide. This is not climate change here, okay? You know, the great cause célèbre of the Nobel Prize organization and of leftists everywhere. This is not climate change. This is cataclysmic amazement. It is phenomena the likes of which nobody has any inkling of whatsoever. You can watch a movie, you know, one of these, I can't even think what they're called now, but anyway, such as San Andreas. You know, these, there are many of this, of the same ilk. And they have the worst case scenario, every possible worst situation they have in them. And they can't begin, they cannot begin to compare to something like this. And yet that's what, you know, what Hollywood can come up with. Every mountain moved out of place. What does that mean? Well, elsewhere, it says that every mountain falls flat. This is going to cause devastation worldwide, the likes of which cannot be comprehended ahead of time. And there is no grand alliance, no world confederacy that is going to prevent this. Instead, all of the wickedness, all of the evil of all of the governments worldwide only bring this on, only bring this nigh. No vast coalition is going to stem the tide of this. And speaking of such coalitions, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? How's that for a picture? All of the kings of the earth and queens, all of the great men and women, all of the rich men, all of the billionaires, male and female, the chief captains, generals, admirals, every bondman, every servant, every slave, every free man and woman hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. Now, obviously, at this point in time, the mountains haven't all fallen flat yet. But they've been moved out of position. And these people, billions of people, said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." How is that going to be better? To have the mountains and rocks fall on you? Cave in on you? That's preferable? Hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. The throne of God. All of these worldly, carnal thrones, these national thrones and United Nations thrones, all other thrones amount to nothing. Hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne in heaven, if you will, but not the heavens, because the heavens have fallen. And from the wrath of the Lamb. The wrath of the Lamb? How scary is a lamb? Right? I mean, how scary is a lamb? You know, I don't know how many people remember Sherry Lewis and Lamb Chop, but a lamb, the wrath of a lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Every day, every night, in this nation and throughout this world, there are people of every type, including the great men and women, the rich men and women, the powerful men and women, who spit on God, who damn God, blaspheme God left, right, and center, Academy Award winners and what have you, who have a penchant for it. Every movie that they appear in, which they not only are stars of, but also executive producers of, they insist on, there are many of them, insist on damning God and damning Christ at every opportunity. Not just being profane and vile and lewd, but blaspheming God, damning God. And it's not just in some R-rated movies. No, no, no. You can find this in PG-13, PG movies. I think I've even seen it in G movies, but definitely in PG. Because after all, that's not bad, right? Damning God, damning Christ, blaspheming God, that isn't bad. Children shouldn't be shielded from that. In fact, they even have children doing it. Or they have the parents doing it right in front of their children. Loudly damning God and damning Christ while the children are arm's length away. Or they're holding a baby while they're doing it. Yes. Now that may sound like an exaggeration. If that sounds like an exaggeration to you, then you're sheltering yourself a little bit. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with sheltering your children from the corruption and perversion that is rampant in this nation and in nations around the world. But if you don't believe me on that, you should, because it's true. The great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Fascinating that these people, so many of whom take such delight in dishonoring, disrespecting God Almighty, deriding him, denigrating him, defiling him every way that they can, that they can think of. Damning God, damning Christ. That then they recognize that the great day of his wrath has come. I mean, I find that remarkable. But maybe they're not the ones that are recognizing that, but some are. The day of the wrath of God, when time is fulfilled, when all of these things are fulfilled, it is drawing near. And God shall hold all of us accountable. And for those who, you know, have been comforting themselves with the nonsense that is promoted in many churches, denominations, once saved, always saved. Oh, brother, sister, well, he held up his hand, at one service. Or she went down to the altar at one service, or what have you. Or watching an evangelist on TV. So they're saved. Really. And you'll hear them say, well, they believe. They believe in Jesus. But if we go back to the Gospels, we find time and again, guess what? The devils believe and tremble, and they're not saved. They're not going to be saved. They are not inheriting the kingdom of God. The devils, right? But they believe and tremble. Time and again, you have possessed people, people that are possessed by devils, by evil spirits, unclean spirits. Call them what you will. And they speak out, recognizing Jesus. And he tells them to be quiet. But it's remarkable. It's breathtaking. Oh, I know. We've got all of these great experts now. And they say, of course, well, possession, you know. There's no such thing. Unless, of course, they happen to be promoting a movie about exorcism, about what have you, and that nonsense. So when I say nonsense, it's not that devils can't be cast out. It's these various rituals and so forth that have been promoted by certain churches, like Catholicism. But we will all be held accountable. There are experts, pastors, theologians, religious experts, supposedly Christian, who insist that no, those who are saved will not come before the judgment seat of Christ. They shall not. They will not. They pass go, and they are good. But they are being practitioners of poetic license, frankly. When what is coming comes, will we be ready? Oh, but brother, I'm going to be raptured. I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be gone. Okay. Dream on. We have had a glut of not only pastors, but Christian broadcasters and so forth who have predicted, unerringly predicted, the end of the earth, the rapture of the church, and what have you, and, you know, have gotten their followers to give them everything. And surprisingly enough, have missed it over and over and over again. Various different ones. Not just one. Various different ones have engaged in that sin, for lack of a better way to put it. Now, the Word of God says that no man knows the hour, not even Jesus Christ. And yet, we have various pastors, ministers, evangelists, televangelists, and Christian broadcasters presuming to know. And leading their gullible followers along. And causing, in some cases, causing their gullible followers to sell their belongings, cash in, and provide for these men of God with the proceeds. And then, of course, when these things don't transpire, what are these people supposed to do? Oh, but these shepherds of the flock, yes, who go on fleecing the flock, the times that are coming are beyond any imaginably severe description that any of us are familiar with, that we can grasp. Because the truth is, fact is, so vastly more extraordinary than fiction. Fiction does not begin to compare to the truth of God. The great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? The only ones that will be able to stand, not talking about physically being able to stand. It's not about how strong and how fit and all of that, what great balance you have. The only ones that will be able to stand, in the sense of being able to stand before the Lord God Almighty and to be welcomed into the kingdom of God. The only ones are those who are truly saved, not superficially saved. Do you imagine, do we imagine that God Almighty doesn't know the difference? He will not be fooled. He will not be deceived. The most persuasive actor, the most persuasive charlatan, the most persuasive liar doesn't stand a chance of fooling God. They can fool some of us, you know. They have fooled multitudes of professing Christians into voting for them, supporting them, providing for them, and what have you. But they do not fool God. They do not fool God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. A day of reckoning is coming. It's not that far away. When we see the different events that speak of the coming of that day, we see these events transpiring or getting very near to transpiring, very near to occurring, very near to being realized, it should cause some sense of urgency in us. Consternation. Concern. That doesn't mean that we should hide away somewhere. It doesn't mean that we respond in some fleshly way. But it means we need to draw nigh to God as He draws nigh to to bringing these things about. He says, if we will draw nigh to Him, draw near to Him, He will draw nigh to us. We should take that to heart. We should choose eternal life and love and truth and righteousness. We should choose God, choose Christ, and not the gods of these evil times. Heavenly Father, Holy God, go before us, guide us, direct us, be a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, enlighten the eyes of our understanding, draw us with cords of love, which shall not be found wanting, which shall not fail. Draw us unto thyself. Bring us safely home. In Jesus' name, amen.